Hey, welcome back to the AIMP Nashville Pubcast. It's your host, Tim Hunzi. We have just a really inspiring episode today as we catch up with Chris Cappy, also known as Cappy, the manager of Mr. Luke Combs. I mean, this guy's story is so enthralling in what he went through in the early days, what they're continuing to do now. I think you're going to learn a lot. So sit back, my friends, and enjoy the ride. Let's jump into your story, because what I also find interesting is you spent 15 years at what is called Six Man doing music festivals on a cruise ship.
Yeah.
So how, that's not a normal thing. So how did you get started there? What was that like?
It's funny. This is our first festival right here, the Rock Boat, the poster. Yeah, that one right there. That's where it all started. I was a fan of a band called Sister Hazel. Still am to this day. And their manager is a good friend of mine, a guy named Andy Levine. And I had just watched the movie Almost Famous, and I was like, I want to be in the music business. So I was in the IT business, and I ended up quitting and going to work for Andy and at Six Man being his first employee, and just jumping headfirst into the philosophy that they had there, which was, you know, taking care of the fan base, taking care of the people, taking people on vacation with their favorite artist. And that started in 2001. We chartered a small cruise ship called the Jubilee, and with Carnival Cruise Lines, and it started. And we just started, you know, creating these experiences for fans and artists to fall in love with each other on the ocean. And it went from one event a year to ended up being to three, and then it went up to, like, I mean, they probably do like 20 now. Like, it's a massive industry. But I was with them for 15 years, and I got to work with, you know, Kiss and Paramore and 311 and John Mayer and Lyle Lovett and Kid Rock and FGL. And so I worked with everybody. And I remember being on the FGL cruise. And I remember a manager at the time on the cruise at like 2 o'clock in the afternoon was like puking into a trash can. And I was just like, if this guy can do it, if this guy's a manager of an act and this guy's doing it, like I can do this, like, you know. And then a guy named Bradley Jordan called me, who's a very close friend of mine. He manages Ella Langley now. He said, hey, you're going to regret your whole life if you don't become a manager. That's all you've ever wanted to do is be a manager. And I said, you're right. And, you know, at 42 years old, met Luke Combs playing in a bar in Athens, Georgia, and the rest is history.
That is wild to me. I love a good story, because, you know, we often say in this business, especially when I'm nurturing up-and-coming writers and even some into creative, that, you know, it doesn't always start where you think it's going to start. And the fact you started that journey at 42 is awesome to me, because it just reasserts the fact that it doesn't matter. Like, if you're passionate about something and you want to do something, you can freaking go do it. And that's what I love about your story and you as a person. For those that haven't hung out with Cappy, he's so inspiring, man, on that stuff.
Well, thank you.
What is it? Because again, you've had your great experiences. If you've seen a lot of acts now, you've gone in, you've seen the thing, you've seen them at all levels, but probably, you know, doing the Rock the Boat, a lot of high level artists there. But what is it when you saw Luke that made you go, like, I get to ask this all the time, what was it? What was the thing that made you go, I need to work with this guy?
I remember he was doing, so he loaded in and super nice guy. And I remember him doing sound check. You know, he was just getting it. And he's the most humble guy in the world. He's the same guy he is today that he was 11 years ago when we first met. And he opens up to sing. And I remember the guy who was doing front of house at the 40 watt had to immediately run over the board and take it down, because he was going to blow the speakers. His so strong, his voice is so strong, his tone is so strong that he was blowing out the speakers. And they were like, my God, like, we did not expect that to come out of there. And at that moment, I was like, man, this is pretty awesome. And I got to watch him do Hurricane for the first time live. That's the first time the band ever played it live and everything like that. And he was singing, and I was like, good God, the command of his voice and the command of his tone, and like, just the songs were great. I mean, and this is just when he had, you know, two EPs out, two three song EPs and Hurricane. And I was like, this is awesome. We didn't sell a single ticket. We didn't pre-sell a single ticket for the show. And 83 people showed up. And I remember standing there selling merch, because I was selling merch too, doing this show. And they were enamored with him. They couldn't get enough of him. They were eating him up. And I was like, this is it. Like, this is what you see with, you know, artists that have been doing this for like 10 years. Like, you know, just like the, and, you know, Luke had never toured. Like, you know, Luke was playing like bars and restaurants. Like he hadn't done this. And we did this one show. And right then and there, I was like, I knew that he's the one. I just knew, my gut was like, quit your job. You've been doing it for 15 years. This is your job. This is your passion. This, it got me excited to like, want to do something again. Cause after 15 years doing cruise ships, like I'd seen it all. I'd done it all. Like, you know, I was hosting, you know, belly flop contests with like major artists. And, you know, I was like being there at midnight, putting collaborations together and like moving people around the ship. And I mean, I'd done everything. And this was a new challenge that made me like excited. And then Luke was an awesome human being. I was just like, well, this is cool. Like, this guy doesn't have an ego. This guy is like, and everybody had passed on him in Nashville too. So that was great. I was like, well, look, I've never done this before. And nobody is like, you know, wanting to like throw their hat in the ring. So I'll do it. And, you know, 11 years later, you know, we're doing three nights at Wembley Stadium. You know, that's pretty crazy.
That is a fast 11 years, man. Like that is pretty meteoric.
With a pandemic in the middle of it. Don't forget about that. We had an 18-month pandemic.
Yeah. Like this guy's, yeah. I remember seeing, I actually think it was Facebook. There was a video going around that got little, I don't know if viral is the right word, but I remember seeing him seeing that was the first time where that's when I ended up getting a hold of Cass and going, hey, man, I should probably meet this kid. But it was just starting to trend around. But the song got me. The thing that you described, the voice in the song, I went, whoa, that kid can sing, man. That is impressive.
He was born to be a singer.
So you jumped off completely, though. Like, you quit a job, jumped off with a guy that at that moment, I'm going to just assume, not making money. So you're not commissioning anything, right?
Not only am I not commissioning anything, he needed to buy a new car. So anything that we had left over, we put into a coffee can that sat in his house and that we saved money because I was like, oh, I'm not going to have you. Like, he didn't want to be in his car anymore. So it was a death trap. So I was like, we got to get you. So I didn't take a commission for, we started working together in September. It was probably March or April of 2016. I didn't take a single commission. So I was like, you know, living on my own. I'm 42 years old. I was living on a couch. I was renting my room out that I had in this house that I was renting over in East Nashville in Cleveland Park. And I could barely even, I had leveraged myself with every credit card. I weighed more than my credit score. I had used every avenue to just stay alive. Because I just believed in you know, this unknown artist. And you know, I was doing everything. You know, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, I was manager. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, I was tour manager. Sunday, I was business manager. I was, you know, loading in, you know, counting in merch, selling merch, you know, mixing the ears on a Bluetooth mixer, 16-channel Bluetooth mixer from my phone as I was selling merch at the same time. I was taking all the food out of the green room and putting it into one of those yellow top bins that we had sell merch in just so I had food to eat, you know, during the week. So, it was, you know, it was going all in. I mean, many panic attacks, like, you know, what are you doing? You know, people questioning me, why did you give up a job for 15 years to do this? But I just believed in Luke. I just believed in him as a human. Like, you know, I think it was more than just as an artist. I believed him as a human. And, you know, we did it all together. He listened to me. You know, he was manageable. You know, there's some people who are not manageable. He is absolutely manageable. And I remember sitting there telling him, I'm like, I'm not your boss. I am your partner. I am your guy. We're doing this together. So don't ever think of me. You know, some artists look at their managers as a boss, or some managers try to treat them that way. Like, oh, you work for me or whatever like that. It was never like that. It was always from the very, very beginning. It was like, hey, man, we're going to figure this out together. And we have.
When was the moment that things started to turn? Okay, we got you in this younger, like, really got it all out there. Where was the turn? I know it happened. So where was that?
Well, it was, I'll tell you the turn. I remember we had gotten Chris Jansen wasn't able to play an event somewhere. Something happened, and at the last second, they needed us to play it. It was at a ATV park, and we got that. And it paid us very well too. It was like the first time we ever saw as much money as we did. I think it was like $7,000. APA got us the deal, and they were scrambling for something, and we got paid more than we were worth. And very next week after that, we got a private for a graduation party for a girl that was a huge fan, named Rachel, and she absolutely loved Luke. And we did both of those, and that gave us a buffer, and that actually let me have some funds. That kind of gave me that. And at that point, it was almost like, we're going to test you until you can see if you break. If you don't break, we're going to let it happen. And then shows started to sell, and fans started to really double in size. And we started to build. And then we ended up taking a meeting with Sony, and we were taking the meeting. We had met with Big Machine, Sony, Black River, and Warner at the time. And I remember getting questioned by Randy Goodman about what we were doing. And that weekend we had sold out the 40 Watt. We had sold out the Blind Horse in Greenville, and we had sold out, or we were close to a sellout at Coyote Joe's in Charlotte. And he was like, well, you don't even have a song at radio. And that was all built through touring. That was all built through a hard ticket. That was all built through working with guys like Bradley Jordan, that was at Peachtree Entertainment at the time, who believed in us. And it was built by winning each fan over one at a time. Luke going to the merch table every night after a show and meeting each and every fan, going back and playing markets multiple times in a year, and truly just beating the streets, putting as much out there in social media. Like, this is before we had social media managers. This was way before there was like the algorithm to worry about and stuff like that. We answered every single message that came in through Facebook. We answered every single message that came in through Twitter. We created a fan club to this day, the Bootleggers, which still lives on Facebook, in a Facebook group. We built everything around our fan base, and we just super served them. To this day, we still do that. I mean, to this day, Luke in Stadium still offers a $25 ticket, because that was the first price of our ticket that we did in Asheville. When he did his first arena show at his home, city. And we've done that ever since. You know, we've just been somebody that's super served. And I just saw it early on with the fans. The momentum just was real. And then Hurricane went to radio. It caught. It was the perfect song at the perfect time. And then right after that, I remember Steve Hodges, who was running radio at Sony, we were down at Key West Songwriters Fest, and he's like, hey, Luke did like a little little thing around a pool, and he played When It Rains, It Pours, and they were like, we need this song. And we serviced When It Rains, It Pours instead of One Number Away. We switched it up, and when Rains came out, it just, it went crazy. And then from that point on, it was just strategic after strategic after strategic move of what's the next song going to be, what's the next. And then, but Luke kept delivering. He's like, oh, here's a song called Beautiful Crazy. You should hear this one. Or here's a song called, what was the one after that? Even Though I'm Leaving. He's like, you should hear these songs. These are great. You're like, whoa. And then you have songs like One Too Many, which never was a radio hit, but is a fan favorite, you know, or Houston, We Have a Problem, or Must Have Never Met You. You know, all those songs, Honky Tonk Highway, were from the first album, never saw the light of day, but are all platinum songs. You know, it's crazy. It just took, you know, This One's For You right now is currently number 10 in the Billboard country chart right now. It's been out since 2016.
His being that, for transparency, he was published, Luke was published here at Big Machine. He is one of the most certified writers that I have worked with. Like, it's insane the amount of certification.
You know what's cool that Luke did, Tim? And I know you know this, but I'm going to say it for everybody else to hear.
Yeah.
Luke's first four songs made every writer on that a first-time hit songwriter. None of them, and a lot of them were out of label deal. I mean, out of pub deals. Like, people had dropped them or whatever. Like, his first four songs, every single songwriter on there, their first number one was with Luke Combs, because nobody wanted to write with him in the early days. So he built his own writing team. And now you guys got Payday Ray Fulcher, who is, you know, a huge writer, Rob Snyder, Channing Wilson, Thomas Archer. I mean, just like Rob Williford. Like, you know, you look at these guys and you're like, all these guys are massive, massive writers now. And they all started with Luke early on that believed in them, you know. And then you got a guy like Jonathan Singleton come along who's like, hey, man, you're awesome. And Luke's like, yeah, and you're Jonathan Singleton. And like, it's like, well, let's do something together. And then, you know, boom, it blows up. And then you bring in Randy Montana and Dan Isbell and Reed Isbell and like all these other guys that like become Luke's writing core. And then you find these guys out there that like, you know, Eric Dillon comes into the mix. And then, you know, you just start bringing in, you know, like I said, Drew Parker, all these unbelievable people. And Luke surrounded himself with people that just cared, and he didn't do it. And then, you know, then the machine wants to start being with you, but he's like, man, I got my guys. Like, I'm good. Like, we're just going to do it here, and we're going to do our thing. And then Luke wasn't, you know, his ego didn't get in the way. He did outside cuts. Like, you know, he started to look at songs like, you know, Where the Wild Things Are is an outside cut. You know, the new song Be By You is an outside cut. So it's just like, you know, he was also not like so much, you know, his pride didn't get in the way where he was like, I can't cut anybody else's songs. He was like, man, there's really great songs out there that need to be heard. And I'd love to be the vessel that gets it out to people.
What I love about, you know, our town and what you watch people do is like what Luke, for my early days, the first one to really be like that was Tracy Lawrence was really good like that. And then came along this little guy, Garth Brooks, that really elevated people's lives. Cause when he started, it, some of them that weren't as big as they were. And like, he just, when I say a cut on Garth Brooks, which is pretty much the same with Luke now, like you're setting people up for life when you do that, like that level of like, this is life changing for a lot of these guys that Luke's been able to not only elevate you and his band and all the people, because they're these little CEOs of these nations of people underneath them. And the writing community has just done so well. And he's so good to them. Again, I want to reiterate that fact that not just Cappy, but Luke himself, the team is just unbelievably hospitable. I know you're a big fan of the Unreasonable Hospitality. Which
I am.
I have finished the book now, by the way. I did not make it. The worst thing I did this year was not read it. I read it and love that book. It's
awesome.
Amazing. So we'll recommend it for those who haven't read it. Unreasonable Hospitality, change your life. But you guys are so good about that. You've taken the opportunity given you, and now you're giving it back. And I love that. The AIMP Nashville Pubcast is hosted by yours truly, Tim Hunzey. And this has been a Dime Collective production.